right, so let's make it plain. Welcome back to the Make It Plain Wayne podcast, Elevated Friendship. How do you feel about all this going on? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel, but how do you feel? Let's make it plain. All right, so yes, let's get back into it. As I had stated earlier, I want to talk about, you know, Miss Marvel and just how amazing of a show this was. The Marvels, Thor: Love and Thunder, this season finale of The Boys, and then of course The Flash as we, you know, move forward and try to replace Ezra Miller. Which, you know, no disrespect to him, no, you know, anger towards him. I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like Grant Gustin is the better choice. And I feel like the worlds need to be connected. Now it's nothing to see someone from the MCU on the Disney Plus app. Like, that's normal now. Like, we should expect that. I mean, we saw a whole season of WandaVision. Then because we saw WandaVision, we knew that when she showed up in, you know, whatchamacallit, in the Multiverse of Madness, you knew it was on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you knew it was on. So I feel like the connectivity of the Marvel Universe is so much easier and well-paced now. You know, it's kind of like, I hate to say it this way, what Marvel is doing is essentially what Tom Brady did from the Patriots to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, even though they've moved him from teams, they can move him from a team in the NFL, like currently NFL, move him from a team in the NFL to another franchise in the NFL, and he's still performing well with a team that has, what, one NFL championship? Like, that's really hard to do, y'all. That's really hard. But now what Disney Plus is essentially saying is we can dominate on an app and in the movie theater. We don't need TV. True. Like, getting on TV and getting on these channels, you know, might be tough. It might be hard, but they've kind of perfected their own lane. Like, if you think about it, because me personally, I was just fine with watching the CW. I watched the Arrowverse. I watched, you know, whatchamacallit, you know, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl joined later, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning. I think I watched the first two seasons of Superman and Lois, and then I started watching Naomi, which... Yeah, I mean, they tried. But back to it, Miss Marvel, loved the show. It's one of those perfect moments where if girls are now asking, like, what can they wear for Halloween and be a hero, they can put on the Chuck Taylors and the Miss Marvel outfit, and I'm a superhero. Like, we have a brown hero, right? We don't have any black female heroes at this point. But we have, you know, now Carol Danvers and Kamala Khan. And it's like, man, they used all the Marvel juice to build this show up and even allowed, you know, the background of Muslim culture and Muslim fears to show up in the finale. You know, Kamran is this, you know, British talking, attractive, you know, young Middle Eastern guy, which is like, you know, he's like the heartthrob of the show, but they, you know, don't shy away from, you know, the judgment, the bias, or the stereotype / racisms that come against, you know, the community of the Muslim community and the brown and Middle Eastern community. So, you know, there's very many things at play here. And for the fears and problems that exist, you know, in the communities of India, in the communities of the partition in the communities of Pakistan. Like, I just applaud you for getting on screen and telling a great story. There were a lot of, from the credits and, you know, hands involved, I saw a lot of names that did not look like my name, simple American names, whether you got it from a plantation or, you know, from, you know, classic European lineage. I didn't see very many just plain names. I saw names that looked like they fit who was on screen. So altogether, I just really love the fact that my daughter wanted to watch it. Like, my daughter's young, right? She hasn't even learned how to tie her shoes yet. But she was like, "Daddy, I wasn't done watching that. I want to watch that again." And it was the season finale, which, of course, is going to be hyped. Lots of beautiful colors, explosions, fighting. But she also watched, you know, Cobra Kai over my shoulder. So I explained, "Yes, honey, this is the fighting. And I'll explain how and why you should do this." But now I'm going to be like a 8-year-old here. I loved the colors used in the show. I love the art. Like, in the very beginning of the show, they had these, you know, Scott Pilgrim-like moving backgrounds. Like, they allowed the background to complement and move with you along with the conversation and the emotion, which also, thank you, Scott Pilgrim. Brie Larson returned. So a Scott Pilgrim alum shows up, you know, in the season finale. And yeah, I'll let you deal with that. But yeah, I really love so many things about this show. I love the colors. I love the outfit choices, the wardrobe, the lighting. Everything was done so well. And like, at this point, like, DC lays over the fabric of our world, but they have different names for their cities, you know, like Metropolis or, you know, Gotham or Star City, which, you know, you could say Star City is Seattle. You could say Gotham is New York. You could say Metropolis is, you know, more like a Chicago. Chicago, Kansas City, / Kansas City. But yeah, I love the fact that this show is a show that, you know, girl dads can watch with their daughters. It also ties into the MCU. I will not back away from the fact that I did see the Ten Rings emblem in the bottom of that cave where they found, the clasp, the gauntlet. Beautiful cast. Love the cast. Fell in love with the cast. Thank you for the wedding scene. Thank you for the dance. Thank you for all of it. And, you know, now I'm going to get some Indian food. Like, I'm on a diet right now. I'm on a diet right now, but I will be getting some Indian food and putting some money in somebody's pocket. Because, yeah, that stuff was, yeah, delicious when I used to go get it before COVID. And now I'm just like, you know what? I haven't had any good Indian food in a while. Let me do my research. Let me, you know, get with some people. Let me get the who, the what, the when, the where. And yeah, well, let's do this. Really love the show. Definitely recommend it. It is age appropriate. I feel like it's a PG-13. PG-13, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I think 8 years old might be a good cutoff. I mean, kids obviously nowadays, because of the internet, see more than we did as kids. I mean, at 8 years old, I think the scariest thing to me was the Thriller video. I mean, it was old, but it was still scary. And like, there was no internet around, you know? Like, we still had cassette tapes when I was 8 years old. And like, I compare myself, like, if I can kind of compare myself to the kids I saw in, you know, Ms. Marvel, the world that they currently live in and function in their high school of New Jersey, I would have been so lost, like seeing the increased level of awareness and love for the brain and for intelligence in schools now. Like nerds are cool, right? Science is cool. Like math and learning and stuff is cool. Now the constant, you know, roles that we've seen in our 80s movies and all that, it is still there. Like I can see it's still there. I'm a coach. I can see it. But now there is an increased awareness to value, you know, Muslim families and women, girls wearing their hijab, pride, to honor Pride Month, to honor diversity of our Mexican, our Black, our Asian, and you know, what is it, South Asian families, Hawaiian families. Like there's a much better grasp of diversity now, which is such a beautiful thing. But yeah, it's just, it's so awesome. So, you know, it's awesome. They did tie two people to this show. And I did take a very special note when the agent was attacking them. I thought she was from S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't recognize this agency. I'll have to do some homework on that. She said, "I don't like it when these people get these powers." And the guy with her says, "Oh, you mean, you know, Muslim, brown people?" And she was like, "No, kids." So are we tying this to, you know, the X-Men, you know, the kids that we run into with the X-Men? Or are we tying this to, you know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man? Because they're in Jersey City. It's not too far from, you know, Hell's Kitchen and from where Peter Parker is your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So who does she mean? Like, who did she mean by that? I want to call her Figueroa because of Orange is New Black. But who did she mean by that? And then also, that was a very, very overdone attack and capture scene. Like that really bothered me that the crew had so much firepower in a school, right? Like terrifying. So that really kind of bothered me that they wanted to use those type services to, you know, catch these kids. And then of course, it's gonna like hit harder that this was a Muslim community, this was a brown community that they choose to, you know, go all out on. I mean, they were using softballs for crying out loud, and they're going to open fire on them with these, you know, I mean, that weapon took a chunk out of that wall. What would it do to a human being? Right. So I don't know. They didn't disclose that or explain that very well, the lethality or how dangerous those guns were, but you know, nobody got hurt. Everybody got protected. We got to see more of what, you know, little Kamala could do, which was, you know, awesome. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm just excited to see where the show went. If they do a second season, awesome. If they don't, cool. But what a cool little character. And I won't go too far into it because I don't want to spoil too much. But I'm really amazing, really amazed to see how they set up, you know, the intro into the Marvels. So on to Thor Love and Thunder real quick. I realized something after watching the movie that I did not talk about. This is the best Thor movie. Of the four Thor movies where he is the star, this is the best. Thor Love and Thunder, then Thor Ragnarok, then Dark World, and then the very first Thor. So why that order? I feel like they've consistently gotten better. The first two films are way too much like what DC was trying to do. And if you look at the timing of those movies, Thor does have a very, very Superman 3 vibe to it, where Superman gets a cold. He gets punched and knocked around. You know, he's not doing well. We see how human he is. And it's just writing. It's, you know, we've got to feel something for these characters or we won't watch. We won't go. But they had me dying laughing. Like, humor is not a bad thing to tie us to a character, like to make us laugh. And I forgot while watching and just kind of just in my mode, I forgot how good the first Avengers movie was. I'm not saying I wasn't paying attention, but it's kind of like watching The Wizard of Oz over and over again each year, or The Color Purple, or Coming to America, or The Christmas Story for that, or any Stanley Kubrick film. You watch any Stanley Kubrick film, it's a different movie every time, like a chess game almost. It's like a different movie every time. I'm watching the beginning of this movie, and I can compare. Like, Chris Hemsworth was jacked in Love and Thunder. He was so much bigger and more defined than his earlier roles. Like, I don't know what he did this time, but apparently having a daughter allows you to go ham in the gym. But yeah, our daughters are the same age, which is like really cute. But yeah, I rank these films now. Thor, Love and Thunder, they're increasingly getting better. So with the very first being at the bottom and then the very newest being at the top, I rank them in the order that they've come out. For me personally, though, even though I said that the newest is the best, Thor Ragnarok is my top. It just is. I won't take the time to explain it all, but it's my top. And I really, really, really had to come back and look at just how amazing the Avengers was. Now, I thought, you know, Joss Whedon and, you know, the crew, I thought they copied the animated film that came out in 2006 and then in 2007. I thought they, like, copied those way too much. The very end, like, there's a scene in, I believe it's in the animated film, where in Wakanda, Iron Man, I believe, is, like, presumed dead, laying on the ground. And Thor uses his lightning to bring him back to life. And he's like, wow, you really are a god. But in the Avengers movie, the Hulk just yells at him. I was like, okay. And then I had to kind of relax. And I realized it's not their job to tell it exactly the way it is in the comic book. It's a mirror, a distorted or hybrid portrayal of not just the comic, but what will work for the audience at hand. So if people wanted the comic book, they just read the comic book. If comic book sales were like 10 times over now, which that's a good homework assignment too, the comic book sales and all the tie-ins to Ms. Marvel. If the comic book sales were like 10 times over, like increased, then I'd be like, you know what? Stick exactly to the comic book, which would kind of be a little bit boring, because why go see the movie when you can buy the comic book? So they do have to give you a little slap and tickle, right? They do have to kind of, you know, aha, you know, oh, look at what we changed kind of thing. Otherwise, you just buy the comic book. But I couldn't believe after watching The Avengers again just how good of a film it was. I was like, wow, they really put a lot in this. And the way Hawkeye just kind of dismantled that the carrier, I'm like, dude, I don't remember this like this. So either I need to watch Avengers more and then go back and take apart those pieces, or they just did a fabulous job of connecting everything, because all those characters are so relevant still to this day, where if they add a new one, that new one can be a new character and or join the same story that we all know and love from Avengers, that very first Avengers film. So it blew my mind just how much of a chicken soup for the soul Captain America and Black Panther are. And then it kind of makes Iron Man more of a like a sushi night, like, you know, he'll impress you, but he's got all these amazing cool things. You know, your Thanksgiving meal, of course, is like your Avengers films. But then like Doctor Strange, I mean, Doctor Strange is like your favorite Chinese restaurant, right? It's like Doctor Strange is like that, your favorite Chinese restaurant that you will not live without, that you'll always order from because it's so, you know, amazing, the tastes, the exotic, you know, parts of it. And then once you add like Miss Marvel to the mix, I mean, you've got a kid. Like, how is that kid, how is she going to do with, you know, Captain Marvel? Is she going to take her under her wing? You know, what's she going to do when she sees big, bad Scarlet Witch? Will we introduce X-Men? You know, so there's so many questions, and I'm just excited to see where they, you know, open this up. The Boys, I can be really quick with this because The Boys is so violent, so inappropriate, so vulgar, but yet it mirrors so many of the things that we've seen in not just comic films, but also present day reality. That Soldier Boy was rough. Okay. Soldier Boy was rough. And ultimately what happens to him makes me kind of laugh because of the balance of things, you know, how, you know, things change, but they never, things change, but they stay the same. So yeah, I just thought that was, you know, really, I thought that was really funny how Soldier Boy's beginning and end in this season. I loved the Temp V. I love the idea of Temp V. I haven't seen anything like this in Marvel unless you're watching the What If series. What happens, you know, with Killmonger in the What If series. But even going back to Xena the Warrior Princess, they had that whatever that stuff was they would eat and you would turn into a god. And you had that one chick that wanted to be like Xena. I can't remember her name. But yeah, it was dope. It was awesome. I feel bad for MM because he never got the conversations, right? He never got the conversations that I would want to have with Soldier Boy. You know, the whys. Like, why? Why? He called him racist. And like that was the thing. Like, just saying that somebody's racist, like, that's one thing I did not agree with in this show. Saying that somebody's racist, wearing NWA shirts and showing Black Panther shirts of, you know, Huey, that doesn't necessarily give me the full backstory. Like, I want the full backstory. Like, I mean, Black History Month is in February. We just had Juneteenth. It's not enough to just say racism and then put up a bunch of, you know, Black Fist and Angela Davis and, you know, 1968 Olympics. Like, that's not enough. Like, why are you saying that he's racist? Like, why did Soldier Boy kill his dad? Because if you watch Black Lightning, the Black Lightning show, you know why Tobias Whale killed Black Lightning's dad, because he was going to, like, I believe he was a news reporter. He was like gonna he didn't accept a deal. It was either he didn't accept a deal or he was gonna blast him in you know, newspaper, news media. I can't remember this specific story, but they explain it really well. It's been a couple of years since I watched it, but why are we saying this? Because Stormfront, the thing about Stormfront was she was a Nazi. Like, she was a complete Nazi sympathizer. And as much as they dealt with that in the beginning of the show, I thought it was just kind of a easy trigger to just say racist and then let the only Black character in the show, well, not the only, but the pro-Black character in the show be more pro-Black as he keeps saying that Soldier Boy is racist. Now, is that why he abused and beat Black Noir? So instead of just showing this man beating Black Noir and then MM showing up saying that he's racist, is he exactly like Blue Wave? Like, A-Train was accusing Blue Wave of being racist, which is ironic because I'd heard there was a, it was like some kind of group project where some teacher had some kids, you know, all about the Blue Wave, and then they took up, you know, all their, you know, momentum and all their motivation and their daily chats and all that. And then I guess the teacher was like, do you want to see who your real leader behind the Blue Wave inspiration is? And it was Adolf Hitler. So I have heard about that experiment, I want to say. But yeah, it just, there wasn't enough. Like, and to me now, and I hate to tell you all this, if you are Black and you are proud and you are this and that, there's too many easy triggers out there. There's just too many easy triggers out there. Not everybody that's racist is actually racist. They might just be an a-hole. They might just be in a bad mood, or they might just not be good with people. Like, they might get in as many fights with Black people as they do with their own family internally or with themselves. They might not love themselves. They might not love this, that, and the other. Now, lynchings and Black Wall Street and the other 100 other Black Wall Streets that happened, that is racist. That is bad. That's horrible. That's demonic and evil. But yeah, I rest my case on MM and A-Train and Blue Wave and Stormfront and Soulja Boy. Aside from that, loved it. Loved it, loved it. It was deep. It was gritty. It was rough. Now, Starlight, that story I can get with. That was very real and authentic. What women have to do to be noticed, what women, how women are often silenced, and what women go through in positions of power is a very real story. Ashley was annoying and funny, but very accurate. What a woman has to do in that role, PR-wise, to clean up a company and to clean up people and rebrand them and rebrand their image, and then also her, you know, her assistant. These were things that are very real and relevant. Soulja Boy being the old version of, you know, what a lot of Americans thought they were in that time period is very real and relevant. Homelander being the current version of what a lot of Americans think they are is also very relevant. Now, Nadia, or was it Nadia or Victoria? I can't remember. She had two names. Being, you know, political savvy, being kind of a, you know, gladiator slash Olivia Pope, you know, style type, you know, in politics. She didn't explode really anybody's head in the show, other than the guy that tried to attack her. But yeah, like, even her character, she reminds me of somebody in my personal life that is kind of a monster to, you know, a good friend of mine. I won't go too deep into that topic, but it gave me chills to my spine to see how this woman moved and operated exactly like this woman that was a complete monster to one of my best friends. So I'll be watching closely to see what happens to her character, kind of hoping she explodes her own head. But yeah, Stan Edgar, as always, Giancarlo Esposito, what an amazing actor. Loved him in Breaking Bad, loved him in The Mandalorian, love seeing him on this show. He's like perfect tailor fit for it. But I'm guessing maybe he had more work to do, because like, we did not see him. We did not see him at all. Now the big worry is now that this blast that comes from Soulja Boy's chest, was that always in him? Because I didn't see him use that in the flashbacks in the, you know, 70s. But yeah, it's like after the tampering of the Russians, he automatically had that ability. So yeah, that and the Temp V I thought were really cool, because that blast takes away gifts and abilities. It took away Kimiko's abilities. It took away Maeve's abilities, whereas, you know, the temp V can bring it back. Now, Kimiko did take that permanent V. And if I'm Huey, of course, I'm probably going to take that permanent V. He did not like being, like he said, the bottom. Maeve, do you have a sign on your forehead that just says I'm classically the bottom? So, yeah, like, you know, obviously Maeve and her girlfriend, you know, they have that relationship where they understand each other. But yeah, with Huey and Starlight, he just did not like the ability that he could not save her, that he couldn't help. So I see him at some point maybe getting back into Vought and maybe taking the permanent V. We'll see. But I love Starlight's, you know, I loved her woke moment. I loved her real moment. I love seeing how Vought tried to cover that. That was awesome. But yeah, ultimately, I'm really sad to see what happened to Black Noir. I mean, the guy is beaten and disfigured and all that. And then, you know, Homelander having his, you know, conversation with him. But yeah, what a great show. What a fun show. I love what they highlighted and how they highlighted it. They hit on racism. They hit on sexism. They hit on, you know, corporate greed. Corporate cover-ups. They hit the Russian button a little bit too. I don't know. One of these days, I don't think they'll be our enemy anymore. I think one day maybe we'll be friends somehow. I don't know. It might actually, I shouldn't even say that. In order for us to be friends with them, I mean, Ukraine might have to take over completely. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see where the season goes. We'll see where everything goes. Obviously, with the way the show ended with Homelander and his son, I'm like, oh, hell no. That's not what y'all are going to do. But yeah, we'll see. And yeah. I'll be tuned in for season 4 whenever they bring that. It was awesome. Happened to come right after everything. I think the season started just before NBA Finals, which is not bad timing. It's not bad timing. I mean, aside from the NBA Finals, you're watching the Stanley Cup. What else is there really to watch on TV? So we had The Boys. We had Ms. Marvel. And then a few other shows. I won't go into HBO Max and Hulu, but yeah, they have some shows as well. Oh, Stranger Things. Good God. I'll have to do a whole nother piece on that because the way they do such a good job of staying in the 80s, telling the story, the reveal of the bad guy, the focus on how new everything was in the 80s, and then who gets involved in the story, just my hats off to them. And big ups to David Harbour for doing such a great job. Winona Ryder, Millie Bobby Brown, the whole cast. Like, they just, David Reiser, Matthew Modine. Like, so many aspects and pieces that relate to just regular great storytelling, 80s movies and 80s storytelling. You know, like they said, those John Hughes films and those horror films that we saw back in the day. They did a really good job. Like, I was genuinely scared for these kids the same way I was in those old movies from the 80s that we'd rewatch 8 times in a row when they came on HBO back in the day. So, yeah. Last but not least, let's talk about The Flash. In a nutshell, I'll just be clear. I'll just be frank. I've always wanted to see Grant Gustin as my Flash on the screen. His energy, his smile, and everything about him is perfect for the DCEU. I don't know what they're going to do, but the Justice League does not need to be on screen for the DCEU to be what they are and to be great. You can have pockets and factions of heroes and then, I don't know, have them talk at coffee shops like the comic book that I read years ago. I think it was Darkest. No, not Darkest Night. I think it was No Man's Land. no, not No Man's Land. It was like the Trinity, whatever the Trinity omnibus comic was. There was like a Trinity book. And at the end of that battle where you had Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman as a Trinity, the bad guys formed a Trinity. And it was like the Riddler, Darkseid, and Morgana, like that evil witch, Morgana. So, you know, it was like a classic battle, like, you know, good versus evil. And at the end of that comic, Bruce Wayne and almost said Michael Jordan, Bruce Wayne and Superman are just laughing and eating food outside, outdoors at a park, like outside of a cafe. I was like, wow, what a great way to just show the human element of who they are, even though like there's nothing normal about them at all. Like one eats a sandwich and he can laser through a whole neighborhood in like the blink of an eye. The other eats a sandwich and he's a billionaire, playboy, philanthropist, you know, basically a martial arts version of Tony Stark. So, you know, same thing with Wonder Woman. So, yeah, it's like showing the human element of these characters is where they're going to win. Batman, for me, has always been the top of the DC comics, just because of how we relate to the trauma that he's been to. They tried it with Shazam. But what they should have done with Shazam is they should have shown Shazam reading, you know, some type of backstory on Bruce Wayne, or, you know, involve the characters in your universe a little bit more, a little bit better, other than just getting in a fight and falling on some Batman toys, you know, in the, you know, KB Toys or, you know, Hy-Vee or Target or Walmart or whatever that was. So, yeah, I feel like Grant Gustin would fit perfectly into that Flash universe. Unlike Falcon and Winter Soldier, where we have superpowered super soldiers, they dealt with the world post snap, right? Post snap and snap back. They dealt with that world. So we're already letting you know, we know we live in a world with Thanos and all of the Avengers. It's no different than, you know, the DC universe. If John Constantine shows up at Wayne Manor, that's a really different kind of show now, isn't it? And you don't need all the other Avengers to showcase all of their talents and abilities in that movie. Just John Constantine and Batman, or Flash and Superman. Like, what can they do together, or what can they do against each other? So, yeah, it's okay to combine these different worlds and not have everybody at the party. Like, it's just too crowded. Because as my buddy Steve said, the DCEU is way too godlike. Like, everybody's too godlike. It's literally like going to Olympus and just sitting there and actually letting them try to pull on your emotions and all that. Whereas like stories like The Blood of Zeus on Netflix, those kind of stories where we have the power, but we're giving it to someone else and watching their tragedy while also looking up in another direction, like what Peacemaker did. Now that is probably the way we need to go. Like, Peacemaker was fun. Peacemaker, they danced. Peacemaker had jokes. Peacemaker was dark. So yeah, be dark, be fun, be all of it. But like, let's stop with this dark, moody, sad, depressed universe, because it doesn't work for everybody. It definitely doesn't work for Superman. It works for Batman because he's dark, depressed, and he can't fly. Like, Superman can fly over the depressing clouds that we see in the wintertime. He can fly right up to the sun no matter what the weather is. That depression and dark and all that, that's Batman. So you got to know how to change your lighting and your change your lighting and your view and your screen and all that. It should be different. Asgard and New Asgard does not look like the Captain America movie, right? The film, the colors, the grayness, what we saw in Captain America, Asgard should not look like that. Going to see Zeus should not look like that. Even this, like, so yeah, I'm running over here, but all in all, what an amazing time, what an amazing month and year of movies and shows. I couldn't be more happy, couldn't be more impressed, and yeah, I'm excited to see what they do in the future. So, all right, you all, I love you all. Hope you love me back. You can love, like, and share these messages. I'll see you soon.